Good morning. Thank you, Kyle. It is a joy to be here this morning. I have not had a chance to be here at Albion in years. So it's good that there's been enough people that have forgotten my last time here and allowed me back. So we thank you for that. Our passage this morning, as you've already heard, is 1 Peter chapter 4. As you are finding that, let me give you a quick update on the Blomquists and Camp Chaminade. This church has been involved in Camp Chaminade for many, many, many years, as we have. My wife Deb and I have been at Chaminade for just over 36 years, and I am now retired. You know, I did not understand all these retired folks that talk about how they're so busy now. Wow, I understand that now. I don't know how that's possible, but when you retire, you all of a sudden get super busy. So we are now retired. Actually, I'm retired. Debbie is still working at camp. So we'll see if we can't move her retirement up a little bit so we both can enjoy that together. This has been quite a year for the Blomquist family. That's one of the reasons Kevin wanted me to come this morning. Kevin is going to be starting a series, I understand, very soon in Revelation. And in Revelation, there's lots of trouble. This past year has been a lot of trouble for the Blomquist family. It's almost 12 months ago. It'll be in just 3 weeks, I think. I entered a season of illness that I never want to repeat again. My pancreas blew up. Have no idea why. Every doctor, the first question they ask you is, well, how much do you drink? And I tell them, I don't drink. Well, how much do you smoke? I don't smoke. Well, then why did your pancreas blow up? I don't know. But it is not a good thing. A number of years ago, 8 years ago, I had a cardiac arrest right there at camp. The camp staff did CPR and shocked me and brought me back to life. And we had a couple of doctors back then say, you know, if you're going to have a problem with a major organ, the heart's a good one to have a problem with because we know so much about it. And then two doctors said, now your pancreas, we don't know as much about that. So don't ever have a problem with that. And that ended up having just a domino effect on a whole bunch of other problems. Doctor said it was like third-degree burns all throughout your body on the inside and just destroyed a lot of stuff. This is my first time preaching in almost a year now. So praise God that he's bringing my health back. And we'll see if my legs hold out, and we'll have Kyle bring a stool up if I need it, but I think we'll be fine. In addition to just the personal illness, we have this wonderful travel trailer that my wife just redecorated, and I helped do the work on. It was just beautiful inside. We traveled all over with this thing, you know, because along with Camp Chaminade, we have another camp up in Ely. Rock Ridge, and we would take the trailer up there and do some work and help out up there. It blew up. We had a gas leak, and as my son-in-law was helping us set up, because I physically couldn't do a whole lot, I was sitting there in the trailer. He was right in front of the stove that he was lighting, and it blew up. And he ended up a week in the hospital and several skin grafts. And he's now doing fine. He's doing all right. He's the lead pastor at the Wilmer Free Church, and he's all back to preaching there and doing all of that. And then an early retirement. I had not planned on retiring yet. Hanging out for another 3 years was kind of the goal, 3 or 4. But with all that's gone on and kind of being a non-entity at camp for this past almost year, it just made sense So I was asked to retire early so the board could get on with other things, and that all makes sense. But that was hard. That was hard. So it has been quite a year. And as you've already heard, read, and maybe looked at 1 Peter chapter 4 as you were finding it, you may have looked at that already and said, oh, great, a sermon about suffering. Thanks, Herb. This ought to be exciting. Well, problem is, it's there. It's in God's Word, and all of God's Word is true, and we have to accept all of it. 1 Peter chapter 4, the very first word, therefore, means we have to stop. We get one word into the sermon, and we have to stop. Therefore. Well, what does therefore mean? You all have heard the little saying that whenever there's a therefore, you have to look and see what it's there for. Therefore means that what is now going to be said is based on what was just said. Peter gave a whole bunch of information, and he says, now because of that, therefore. So we do have to back up a little bit. Back up to chapter 3, verses 14 to 18, and figure out, well, okay, where is Peter going? So because of all this information, what is it that we need to know? Well, let's go back and look at verse 14. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sin once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Therefore, well, therefore what? Well, therefore understand that we have a high priest that understands your suffering. We have a high priest that understands your suffering. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize, Hebrews tells us. We have a high priest who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands. Has anyone suffered more than he? You think you're suffering? Jesus understands. And he showed us how to respond. And you and I need to have that same attitude. And don't be surprised that suffering comes. How's that for a promise? We are promised suffering. And we need to have the same attitude that Jesus had. We need to show that we're done with sin by how we respond to suffering. Now, you and I like to whine and complain. That's our normal response to suffering, isn't it? That's our normal response to a lot of stuff. Oh, it's going to be cold again. Well, for crying out loud, it's winter. Well, there's a really hard thing going on. We just like, it just comes naturally to us. And for some reason, we listen to people like that. You hear good things going on at a church, but if you hear one person from that church say, well, that's the way it looks, but I know the real. And we listen to that. We like to whine and complain, and yet we're supposed to have the same response, the same attitude that Jesus had. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. Get rid of it. We need to put away those things that cause us to stumble or to whine and complain. If your hand causes an offense, Jesus says in Matthew 5:29, cut it off. Now, the Sermon on the Mount, we just finished up this political season, praise God. No more commercials. But we've heard all these stump speeches. And actually, the Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' stump speech. He repeated that a lot in different places. Because it shows up again in Matthew 18. Jesus says, if your eye offends you, gouge it out. If your computer causes you to stumble, throw it away. Be done with it. And if you're going through suffering, don't whine and complain. You should expect it. And we should respond the way Jesus did. You used to respond this way. Now don't anymore. Look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 4. For if you've spent enough time in the past, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. Isn't that interesting that when you have a different response to the way things are going on, well, the world often has two different responses. And the first response is often that they ridicule you for it. They just think you're odd and strange. They don't accept that that's the kind of response that you should have. And it makes them feel guilty. Now, some others will be attracted to that. Again, in Matthew, Jesus tells us, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Have you ever thought about that? That your response to what you're having to live through just might cause some non-believers to go, wow, that's not what I expected. And maybe make them curious about your Father in heaven. That's how our response should cause people to respond. I need to learn to bring Jesus into every situation. You know, one of the things that I don't think we do a real good job of is hanging out with pagans more. A number of years ago at camp, we learned of three other camps in the country, two in Pennsylvania, one in Colorado, that had lost their tax-exempt status. Even though they were nonprofit organizations, they lost their property tax exemption status. That's not a given. It's something that at Chaminade, we, about every 10 years, 6-10 years, the county would kind of scratch their head and say, huh, do you really not have to pay taxes? Does that make sense? And these three camps lost their property tax exemptions. One of them went completely under because they had $10 million in back taxes. And it dawned on us that, you know what, we need, well, because all those directors told me that the reason they lost their tax exemption is because nobody in the community really knew who they were. They looked like any other resort. So a number of years ago, we put on a concerted effort to really have an impact in the community, to be an asset to the community. And one of the early things we did was a whole bunch of us became first responders. If you call 911 up in our little township, Scandia Valley, all camp people show up. It's great. They really changes their attitude when you're the one saving their loved one and everyone is wearing something that says Camp Chaminade. We wouldn't have a first response team if it wasn't for Chaminade. Our treasurer, our finance officer, is the assistant fire chief. I got involved, well, with the first responders, but I also got involved with the Lincoln Area Business Association. That's our small little local chamber of commerce, because I just needed to hang out with pagans more. Oh, did I hit the jackpot. At the very first meeting, one guy was drunk, and everyone was yelling and cursing at each other, and it almost broke out into a fist fight. And I'm like, what on earth? I got elected treasurer at the very first meeting I was at. One of the guys says, well, blankety blank, we ought to elect him because he's a pastor. We can trust him. Apparently, the treasurer before me, they thought maybe he had been kind of skimmy. And after the meeting, I pulled together the other officers and I said, what was that? Oh, it's always like this. Those guys, he's always drunk, and those guys always. And I said, well, you know, maybe we could get them together and talk about how this organization should really be helping each other out. We're a chamber of commerce, building up the community. And we got everyone together, or the worst offenders. And I suggested, after they finally ran out of steam and they're arguing and swearing, I said, you know, I think the Bible has something that could help us with this. Silence. Which I took to be interest. So I walked them through Matthew 18, just real quickly. It wasn't a sermon. And I said, you know, if one of the other businesses you've got a problem with, go to them individually. And if that doesn't work, well, then bring another business partner with you. And if that doesn't work, it says to bring the elders of the church. Well, bring the officers. And if that doesn't work, bring it to the whole church. Well, okay, bring it to the whole group. And I walked them through it, and one of the guys at the end, one of the worst offenders, he said, oh, blankety blank, that makes sense. Let's give that a try. And you can bring Jesus into the different places you go. And what I found was, you don't have to preach all the time. We'd be talking about a decision we have to make, and I would just say, you know what? I wonder if we could wait on that for a little bit, because I'd love more time to think and to pray about that, and then just go on with the conversation. And it's so funny to watch people's response. Did he say pray? Did he say? And one Wednesday night, we were headed into church, and I got a phone call from one of those other business owners. And she was just weeping. She said, Herb, my daughter and son-in-law are headed to the hospital. The baby's coming way too soon, and I'm so frightened. Would you do that pray thing you do? So we did. Pulled off to the side of the road, prayed. Ever since then, I'm now president of the Chamber of Commerce. And ever since then, every meeting opens in prayer. And I never suggested, it's usually one of the pagans that says, you know, would you do that pray thing before we start? And we've seen a few of them, well, a couple of them come to a saving knowledge of Christ, and a few others make good steps towards that. Yeah, people need to see your response and bring Jesus into the situation. Verse 7. Oh, we got to fly here. Verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, there it is again. What's it there for? Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Your response to point number 2, your response to suffering should be to pray. Now, doesn't that sound like a wonderful Sunday school answer? You know, how should we handle this, boys and girls? We should pray. That's a nice Sunday school answer, but remember who is writing this. This is Peter. And I wonder if he's remembering 25 or 30 years before this, on a night when Jesus asked him and two others to pray with him, and they fell asleep. And three times Jesus has to ask them, really? You couldn't stay awake? Please, would you pray for me? I wonder if that terrible, painful memory is going through Peter's head as he says, when you go through suffering, your response should be to pray. You want to be able to handle suffering with grace and peace? Then therefore pray. In addition to that, look at verse 8, therefore love. And love covers a multitude of sins, Scripture tells us. Do you? Does your love cover a multiple of sins? Or would you rather respond in a malicious way? When bad things happen or when people do bad things to you. Oh, well, you wouldn't believe what that person did. And you know, I'm not even sure they're a believer. Love covers a multitude of sins. Furthermore, in that verse it says to love deeply. Now that word deeply, the root Greek word means to stretch and to strain. And one of the few other places that it's used is in a history book written by a Greek general from that time who used the same word to describe a horse at full gallop, straining to go faster, stretching out, working so hard. Therefore, love, and love deeply. And sometimes that's hard work. Because some of you are hard to love. Don't be looking around. John 13, 35, Jesus tells us, this is how the world is going to know that you're my disciples, by the love that you have for each other. Wouldn't it be great if this community gossiped about you guys in terms of, I don't know what those people are on, but man, they love each other. And that will be attractive. Peter goes on to say that one of the ways to demonstrate this love is through hospitality. And hospitality is a lost art. I think it's because we've tied hospitality to setting. My house isn't big enough. I can't keep it clean with all these kids. Hospitality has nothing to do with how your house looks. Hospitality has everything to do with your willingness to share what you have, as little as it might be. Whether or not it's good enough for the receiver is no reflection on you. It's a complete reflection on the receiver. We need to be better at offering hospitality. And to a greater extent, we need to be better at accepting hospitality. Look at verse 11. If I can find it here, all my scribbles. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You know what those verses remind me of? Back in the 80s, I got a chance to work with a lot of inner city Chicago churches, black churches. It was so much fun. And black preachers are so good. And Peter sounds a little bit like that here. He's preaching, and it's almost a call and a response, and he's reaching this crescendo. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. If anyone is a writer, he should write and administer God's grace. If you're a dancer, dance for Jesus and administer God's grace. If you're a builder, I can just hear some of my black preacher friends, build in a way that administers God's grace. If you're a tuba player, play in such a way that administers God's grace. You know what? Go back to verse 10 a little bit. It says to faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Administering God's grace in its various forms. That's interesting. But if you go back to the very first chapter, Peter says, you're going to have trials of all kinds. And the word kind is the exact same word as various in this verse. Yeah, there's going to be all kinds of suffering, but God has given us all kinds of gifts to respond to that suffering. Your gift, when exercised, may be exactly what someone else needs. Don't deny the church the exercise of your gifts. Don't belittle your gift. It might be the exact thing someone else in the body is needing and no one else can provide. The body needs all of its parts and you are one of those parts. Don't deny the church your gift. Oh, I'm sorry. We got to keep flying. Point number three, starting in verse 13. When suffering, keep perspective. Rejoice when you suffer. You're blessed when you suffer. Praise God for suffering. How do you do that when you keep perspective? We tend to think our suffering is worse than anybody else's. Why me? Of course, the flip side to that is it should have been somebody else. Really? Why me? Now, keep perspective. We tend to think our suffering is worse. You know what is a great cure for that? It's traveling to a third world country. Number of years ago, shortly after the fall of that evil, evil dictator, Ceausescu, in Romania, had an opportunity to go there. You'll never whine and complain again. The country just devastated. We were in the capital city, Bucharest, a city of 350,000 stray dogs. But they were a blessing because they ate the garbage that was piled at the end of the streets because there was no garbage pickup, just huge mounds of them. And early in the morning, I would get up when I was on this mission trip. I'd get up and walk the streets of Bucharest. And as the sun was coming up, all of a sudden you would see the manhole covers in the street start to move and pop up and slide to the side. And hundreds of orphans would come streaming out of the sewers because it was warm down there. And they would see you and somehow they could tell right away you're an American and they'd come running up and begging, please, 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 kissing your hands and please help. Our missionary friend there told us, he said when he works with these kids, he doesn't tell them that, hey, following Jesus will mean life will be so much easier because the average age at that time, the average age of a street kid, well, if he lived to 16, that was amazing. Most of them would be dead long before that. So he would always tell them that if you follow Jesus, when you die, Jesus will be there. And he'll hold you in his arms. I remember one evening, this was way before cell phones, calling Deb. And I couldn't get the words out. seen that sort of suffering. We were on one of the trains, and in these trains there would be a hallway on one side of the train car and staterooms on the other, and we heard coming down the aisle this shoo, shoo, shoo. And what on earth is that? And then the door slid open, and here was a kid whose legs had been severed, and he was on a little rolling dolly, and he had a couple of sticks that he would pull himself forward with. And he saw that there were Americans in this stateroom, and he came in, and he kissed my shoes. And he had a little scrap of paper that someone had written in English for him, "No mother or father, please help." Got to be in Liberia shortly after that 15-year civil war. An entire generation of kids that were orphans because all the adults had been killed in the civil war. But they heard that I was coming. We were up in the northern part, and I was told that they'd probably never seen a white guy before. You know, they're just kids, and there was no white people there during the Civil War. And so they called me Kwipoo. It's a white guy. Kwipoo's coming. Kwipoo's coming. I learned later that Kwipoo actually means fat white guy. I used to be heavier. And here are these kids, living on the street, living in the jungle. Maybe they're wearing a pair of boxers. I remember, like, I lost 50 plus pounds during this illness. I used to be a lot bigger. And I remember giving kind of the guy that traveled with us all of my clothes, including my boxer shorts. You could have fit 4 or 5 of him in my stuff, but he was so grateful. In China, where we started camps, Christian camps, that's a whole other story. We don't have time for all of that. But I remember in a room a little bit smaller than this, 300 people packed in for a worship service. And we were the guests of honor sitting up front, looking behind me, they were always constantly getting up and leaving and moving around. And I whispered to our interpreter, "What's going on?" And she said, "What? Oh, you don't understand. They're taking turns because there's hundreds more outside that want to come in. And they're taking turns hearing God's word." You want to whine and complain? Fine, get out of here, because I can fit 6 Chinese people in your one spot. Keep perspective. Keep perspective. Verse 19. "So then," which is the same as "therefore," there it is again. "When you suffer, commit yourself to God." When you suffer, commit yourself to God. I confess to you that twice in January, lying in a hospital bed, I begged God to take me home. I couldn't take it anymore. "Please take me home." You need to learn to trust that God knows what he's doing, even when you're going through suffering. Is your response to suffering causing people to praise God? We already said in Matthew, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works," and what? "And praise your Father in heaven." Satan means for you to suffer and lose sight of Jesus. Jesus, through his own example, turns suffering around and provides us gifts that we can use to turn suffering into a testimony of the goodness of Jesus. There's a lot of suffering going on. But we have a high priest who understands. Therefore, be like Jesus. There's a lot of suffering. Therefore, pray. There's a lot of suffering to come. Therefore, keep perspective. And finally, therefore, make sure your suffering brings praise to God. Let your light so shine that even pagans give praise to God for your response. Kevin's going to be talking about Revelation in the series coming up. You're going to hear a lot of terrible stuff to come. Be ready. Pray. Keep perspective. Let me pray for us now. Father, I thank you that you haven't taken these things away from us, but you provided a way through with your own example. Father, help us to use the gifts that you've provided us to serve each other and to help each other through difficult times. And Father, we pray that as we bring you into every situation, that people will see how our response is different and that it would draw them to you. We ask these things in the very precious name of your Son. Amen.